and you've experienced that what's almost just so different from us, uncontrollable. In fact, lightning and thunderstorms, scientists still can't figure out, you know, what exactly makes all that happen, and we can't harness it. I was an electrician for a lot of years, and I often thought if I could figure out a way to plug into that, I would never have to pay another utility bill. There's such magnificent power. And the Lord does thunder. The Lord does thunder. He has that capability. God created the heavens and the earth. He created nature. In storms, they're so wild and untamed, and we think, oh my goodness, that the God that created that. Tsunamis and earthquakes, lightning and thunder. That God is so magnificent and so different than little old me. How could I ever hook in and harness that power? How could I ever experience that kind of power from a God like that? That created the universe, created the oceans, created the world, created you and me. Oftentimes, God just seems like it's just so far away. He's so different than us. This magnificent God that thunders. Well, today we're going to continue on in our Ephesians series. And the Apostle Paul does talk about a lot about God's power. God's power and how that's available to you and me. Now, this is the third week, chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians. Bill started us all off with Ephesians 1. And we had talked about Ephesians. The theme of Ephesians is the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the city of Ephesus to help the saints there. So he's writing this letter to believers, to people who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. So he's writing to believers. And the theme of the entire book is who you are and what you've got. It's kind of summed up in that. And in the first week, Bill talked about being chosen. That we are children of God. We've been chosen by God. And last week, he talked about God's incredible grace that he just gives us. That we don't deserve. That we have not earned. But free grace that God has just given us. He wants you to have more. It's a gift. It's not that if I go to church so many times, if I do all these good things, then I can get into heaven. God says, no, I am the only way. Jesus Christ is the only way. We talked about the first Adam who fell into sin. And the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who came and corrected that, who righted that on the cross by taking our sins upon himself. And that's available to each and every one of us. That power, that amazing power that thunders, is available to you and to me. I like this explanation of power. It's the actual or potential possession of control, authority, or influence over others. True power, which includes the effective exercise of authority, belongs only to God. Power. That power, believe it or not, if you really believe this stuff, if you really believe the Bible, God's Word, and what a privilege it is tonight we actually get to look at God's Word. God will directly speak to you and to me tonight through His Word. Like it or not, you are going to get God's truth and it will change you. What a privilege that we live in a country where we can look at God's truth together. Amen. God's Word. The God that thunders is going to share His... He's going to talk to you and me. Are you ready? Are you receptive? Are you listening? Because He's going to. He's going to talk to you. That power that we see in the thunderstorm, sometimes we just leave it sit. Here's a couple stories that I'll read you about how power can just be left idle and not be tapped into. Here's a story about a car problem. In a seminary missions class, Herbert Jackson told how, as a new missionary, he was assigned a car that would not start without a push. After pondering his problem, he devised a plan. He went to the school near his home, got permission to take some children out of class, and had them push his car off. As he made his rounds, he would either park on a hill or leave the engine running. He used this ingenious procedure for 2 years. Ill health forced the Jackson family to leave, and a new missionary came to that station. When Jackson proudly began to explain his arrangement for getting the car started, the new man began looking under the hood. Before the explanation was complete, the new missionary interrupted, "Why, Dr. Jackson, I believe the only trouble is this loose cable." He gave the cable a twist, stepped into the car, pushed the switch, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life. For 2 years, needless trouble had become routine. The power was there all the time. Only a loose connection kept Jackson from putting that power to work. J.B. Phillips paraphrases Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. How tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God. When we make firm our connection with God, His life and power flows through us. It's there. And most of the time, you and I, we just leave it there. We don't touch it. Why is that? The world sucks us away from God. And that power, that incredible power, is right there. Here's another story I kind of like. On New Year's Day, in the Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It was out of gas. The whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gas. The amusing thing was the float represented the Standard Oil Company. With its vast oil resources, its truck was out of gas. Often, Christians neglect their spiritual maintenance, and though they are clothed with power, as it promises in Luke 24:49, find themselves out of gas. We find ourselves out of gas. Do we not? You know, the Greek meaning of weary, the word, what that word means is spiritless. It's without the Spirit. Now, you can be tired or you can be weary. I think most of us are probably weary, spiritless, because the power of God is in our face, lives inside us, is everywhere, and we walk the other way. In a 24-hour period, we might sleep 8 hours. Most of us don't. So let's say if you have 16 hours in a day of time. 16 hours. 16 hours in a day of time. Okay, what percentage is God's? What percentage do you give to God? What percentage do I give? It's pathetic. It really is. If we look at people from the Bible, past and present, people that really sought God, really made a difference, they went to find God. That 16 hours, there's a percentage that was given God. There's a priority there that has to happen for you and for me. Otherwise, that power just sits there for years and years and years, maybe our whole life till we die. Oh, he could have done so much. He had such potential. But no, we leave it sit. So let's start. Let's take a look at God's Word. What does Ephesians 3 have to do with power? Let's look at Ephesians 3. This is God's Word. The Apostle Paul actually is in prison as he writes this. I think he's pretty focused and prayerful. And probably his day, a large percentage was focused on the Lord. And that changed him. That changed him incredibly. He wrote letters like this. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In chapter 2, if you'll remember, we talked about Paul's ministry was to the Gentiles, which is pretty bizarre because Paul is a Jew. And so he lived a lifestyle growing up. He persecuted Gentiles. And all of a sudden, that's God, through His grace, gave him that ministry to Paul. Okay, I want you to go preach to the Gentiles because the Gentiles as well are welcome into heaven. Everyone is invited into heaven. No one is excluded. Everyone at this day and time when he wrote this letter, that was just incredibly radical idea. I mean, they're not circumcised. How could they have access to God? At this time, when he wrote this, for the Gentiles, for him to be preaching to them, and he pursued them to persecute them, to kill them, and now he's saying, you know what? I was wrong. I was wrong. God loves everyone. His grace is for everyone. And that's what Paul preaches. It's for everyone. The mystery is now known. Through Jesus Christ's death on the cross, everyone can come to me. It's what God is telling us. And you are part of one body, and so am I. As Christians, we are part of one body. I don't know that we act like that very often. Let's continue to read in God's Word here. It says, in reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight to the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, it's easy for me to say. It has now been revealed by God, by the Spirit, to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. This is just a radical statement for Paul. Members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. You are part of one body. If you are a Christian, and by the way, if you're not a Christian, this word can still speak to you. And you need to talk to someone and find out exactly what that means. If you're not a Christian, if you're just trying to figure this whole thing out, find somebody and talk to them and figure it out. What do you mean? What are you guys talking about? Why do you guys get so excited about Jesus Christ? Why do you live your life sacrificially? Hopefully people are asking you that. Why are you so different? Why are you so joyful? How come your marriage works? It's because of Jesus Christ. Period. Because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ. And I am part of one body. Now we could take and line up the stage, and all of us are from different walks of life. And there's probably some of us from different churches in here. And I could put a Lutheran and a Catholic and a guy from the Mormon church and just line up people, Baptist and Unitarian and atheist and all these people. I can just line them all up here, all people. If each one of those persons, no matter where they are, what walk of life, where do they go to church, where they live, their background, whether you're European, whether you're from Mexico, whether you're from Africa, it just does not matter. What matters is Jesus Christ died on a cross for you and for me. And everyone can step into that and believe that. So if every one of these people understood that yes, they have a sin problem before a holy God, and the only way to get to that holy God is through believing in Jesus Christ and repenting and turning to Him and believing Him and asking Him for forgiveness and receiving Him into your life, every one of those persons, as they step forth, they would step into the body of Christ right then and there. And we'd all be one. I think that's what God wants. All of us to be one. You know, I think if the unity that God desires for us to be one body, if that actually happened in this world, I think He'd come on back. We just can't seem to get there. We're so different and selfish. We can't agree. Well, one thing is just absolutely clear. The Bible is true. Matter of fact, it is the only perfect thing on earth. The only perfect thing on this earth is God's Word. And He's given it to us. And He wants to call us all together from all nations, from all over the world, from all different walks, to this one body, body of Christ. He wants to treat us all equal. He wants us to treat each other equal. And He wants us to love each other. He wants us to live a different lifestyle that looks radically different than this fallen world. He wants us to do it together as believers. One body. We have a hard time getting that, don't we? In this world, there is so much disunity. It breaks my heart. I'm sure it breaks God's heart. All of us trying to do our own thing. No, we have to have wooden pews, all right? We can't hang with you guys. Jesus Christ. It's the name above all names, and that's all that matters. God's calling us to Himself. He wants one body. I like what this quote by Elton Trueblood. The early Christians were not people of standing, but they had a secret power among them. And the secret power resulted from the way in which they were members of one another. Look at this verse in Acts. The whole congregation of believers was united as one. One heart, one mind, one. One. God is very specific about us being one body of believers, united with other Christians. I'm so excited that K2 shares this building with us. We have another church, Crosspoint, that shares our Sandy building on Sundays now. It's about building the kingdom. And we're called to love one another, especially the body of believers, in unity. You know, at our camp out, we had over 240 people from our two churches. And it was all different walks of life. We had people from this church, people from our Sandy church. And I think we had 15 or 16 people get baptized. So a bunch of us walked up to this freezing cold creek and some people got baptized. Right then and there. And baptism is simply a ceremony, a celebration, a symbolism of our old lives being washed away. As we come up out of the water, our new lives in Christ. But I remember standing there on it was just a little creek. I mean, we had to look for a place to get enough water, where a pool deep enough where it would work for baptisms. And we were on both sides of the river, both sides of the creek, lining up all different walks in life, old and young. And not only that, different walks in our Christian life. New believers, mature believers, unbelievers. I just saw that up and down, both sides of this river. But there we were, one. We stepping away from those baptisms, I thought, this is what Jesus would do. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them what I've taught you. As one, we stepped out of there. Oh, we were all so different. Some of us are parents and some weren't. And some are young, some are old. Way different personalities, no doubt. But God had us there as one, celebrating Him. That's just beautiful. I think that's just a good picture of what God wants for us. And I think that's what Paul's talking about here in Ephesians. So let's continue on. Seems like God chooses the humble. He loves to use humble people who think that they can't do it. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of His power. It's nothing that Paul did. Paul recognizes, the Apostle Paul recognizes that it was a gift. Think of Paul. He persecuted Gentiles. Now he's winning them to Christ. God is using him in a powerful way to see people saved. What he recognized, it was nothing that he had done. It was God's power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, although I am less than the least of all God's people, is what he writes. Apostle Paul. He's a humble man. This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. God seems to take humble people like Moses and Abraham and David and Noah and John Newton is the guy that wrote Amazing Grace. He was a slave trader before he came to know the Lord and was used mightily by God to win people to Christ. God just picks people like you and me out of the crowd. He just chooses us. And He showers us with grace and mercy, and He empowers us with His Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1, it says that Holy Spirit is sealed inside of us. And last week we talked about God living inside of us. Do you really believe that? He lives inside our hearts. That power, the creator of the universe, is inside of us. That makes a difference. If you really believe that, if you really live that way, if you really grab a hold of that truth and tap into that power, that makes all the difference in the world. God decides, we don't. Let's continue on. The church reflects Christ. You might say, well, I've seen times it didn't. Ideally, the Holy Spirit is living inside you. The church is God's vehicle to show Himself to the world. His purposes are accomplished. Let's continue on in Ephesians. His intent was that now, through the church. Did you catch that? His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Manifold wisdom. His different wisdom. Through the church, through you and I, should reflect Christ. And it does. And it does. Any church that is truly following after the one and only Bible, God's Word, it changes people. People that actually have bowed a knee and asked Jesus Christ into their life and are living out the Christian life, there is a transformation going on. It can't help but happen. God's Word changes people. It transforms people. According to His eternal purposes, which He has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's accomplished. Not what God's going to do when I get a little older, when I have enough money saved up to retire. No, this God has accomplished on the cross. As Jesus Christ died, as His human body gave out, He said, this is accomplished. It is accomplished. It is finished. Christ's death on the cross accomplished what God had in mind. Ever since the first Adam fell to sin, a second Adam, Jesus Christ, came and accomplished what had to happen. That sin had to be canceled out. It had to be wiped clear. And Jesus Christ did that. He accomplished that. So not only are we part of one body, but we're also on the winning side. We win. God has victory over the enemy. And we are part of that. We're invited to be part of that. That's just amazing to me. There's a quote by David Jeremiah. The Holy Spirit will not let you be content in your blindness. He would not allow it for Paul, nor would He allow it for John Newton. Be assured He will not allow it for you. He longs to open the curtains and let in a light that will make your world sparkle with all the bright colors of paradise. I believe that. And here's an amazing truth. The church reflects Christ. We may approach God. We have access. We have access to this God that thunders. We have access. We're invited in. You know, when Jesus Christ died, the curtain was torn in two that covered the tabernacle. That was in front of the tabernacle in the temple. That only the Holy of Holies could go in there to it. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the curtain was torn top down. Big old thick woven curtain, God tore it in two and said, come on in. You have access to God, Christian. Why aren't we going there? Why does my 16 hours get filled up with stuff? The God of the universe, He wants to have relationship with me. He wants to direct me. He wants to help me. It's not always easy. Most of the time it's hard. But the God of the universe says, you may approach me. Come on up. I've been waiting for you to get your eyes on me finally. You got your eyes on me. Come and see me. Let's spend time together. Why don't we? It's so foolish of us not to. You know, we've instituted something for our staff. We want everybody to go have a dog day. A day alone with God. And I went and had mine a couple days ago and it's changed me. Why don't I do that more often? I beg each and every one of you, go have some time with God. Have a media-free day. Are you kidding me? This world just hammers us with stuff. Cell phones and computers and we just can't get it away from us. It's just swirling around us. God says, you may approach me. Let's read this. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Do you believe that? Do you believe it?
Yes.
You may approach God. Why don't you? Why don't I? Things are just so right when you're in the pocket with God. You know, I always go up with this. I like to go up to the mountains because we live close to the mountains. I'm sure there's states where you go out in a cornfield or something, but you can go away and be with God. And I've been in cornfields and I've been with God because He's everywhere. And we have access. We may approach God. Christian, you and I, or if you're not a Christian, God says, come and approach me. I want to show you something. Please, take time in your life. Please. It'd be the best thing you ever did. Best thing for your school. Best thing for your physical health, your spiritual health, your mental health. Best thing you've ever done. Can you take 4 hours and give them to God out of a year? We are so selfish. The God of the universe says, approach me. You may approach me. Go and approach God. And your life will change incredibly. I ask you, therefore, we'll continue on, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Approach God. Approach God. Will some of you do that for me? Can you raise your hand? You have access. This world wants to suck that away from you. The God of the universe is available. You can go and have relationship. You can talk. You can be directed. You can be told where to go. You can be told what not to do, what to do. By the Creator of the universe. That's where I want my lead to be. I want to be led by God. His will be done. His kingdom come. Don't you guys? Don't you want to be led by God? Instead of by this media frenzy that's swallowing us up. He wants us to do incredible things that none of us can even imagine for ourselves. I just finished the book by Erwin McManus, The Barbarian Way. I loved it. He talks about living out our Christian lives in a barbarian way. It seems what happens in the world today is we get nice little churches that we planted all over, and we're trying to conform everybody to come in and sit just right with your legs crossed just right on this chair over here in your nice Christian new environment. And he says, no. Once we come to know, God wants us to have the freedom to live barbarically, like a barbarian for Him. And not get conformed to our places. Certainly, God's going to transform us. And hopefully, our sin-filled life will become sinless as Christ starts changing us to be more like Him. But I don't think we're called to be conformed to our nice little churches. We're called to reach this world. God wants to use people like you and me to do it. Continue on. This is Paul's prayer of power. Actually, the last seven verses are Paul's prayer. And I think in prison, Paul was very focused on prayer. I think he prayed a lot. And this is just a beautiful prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. Paul understood where he belonged. Kneel before the Father. I picture a man in prison kneeling before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We're all part of that one body. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That's a beautiful prayer. Thank you, Paul. He prayed that for you, for me. He wants us to pray that. I pray every day for God's power. Every day, God, give me power. Fill me up with your power. Show yourself mightily through me, through my marriage, through my wife, through my kids. You know, my wife, she likes to stay fit by doing this step aerobics thing. And she's invited me to do it with her sometimes, but I just can't. But I appreciate it that she wants to take good care of herself. I want her to be fit physically. I want her to live long with me, because she helps me a lot. I need her so bad. But you know, she does this like step thing, and I don't know. They go and she's just stepping up, and you know, I walk in there and think, oh, you go, girl, yeah. But no, I'm not going to. But you know what? What I love even more is my wife works out every morning with God. Every morning, she does not miss. That's the best thing she could ever do for me. She gets up early, she gets in the Word, and she prays. She prays for me. She prays for my family. I see into her heart when I pray with her. The best thing that I could ever do for her is to get up earlier, get in the Word, and get before God. She wants a man that's led by God. I want a wife that's led by God. Friday night, my daughter Kelsey, last night, moved into the dorms up at the U. And drove her up there and dropped her off. You know, first time that she's moved away from home. Kind of a sensitive moment. But my daughter Kelsey has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And she approaches God, and she has a habit, and I've seen it. And I've seen the power of God work in her life, miraculously. Because she's positioned herself before a holy God. And driving up there, I had some tears in my eyes. I thought, oh my goodness, this little girl used to just bounce around my feet. She's moving into the dorm. She's moving on. But you know what? She's part of something bigger than herself. Because the Rock U has arrived at the university. Okay? And if anybody is here and you're part of the university and somehow you saw this beehive of energy and you decided to come check it out, we just welcome you. This is your home. And you are always welcome to join us for church here. And there's something very special that has started up on the university campus. You know what it is? It's the power of God. And you know why? Because men and women have positioned themselves in prayer and said, God, do something amazing. Astonish us. And he will. We better be careful what we prayed, because it's coming around the corner. And it's going to be astonishing. God will astonish us. He will. But I am confident that a lot of things may be hard for my daughter now that she's on her own. I thank God she's in the same town as me. But I know she's tapped into the power. She understands. And the whole reason she moved into the dorms was to share the truth with others. Because God has handpicked her and a bunch of other people that are with her to make a difference in this world. And it's so right. There's a lot of things you can do with your life. Oh my goodness, at 18, the things I chose to do, none of that stuff matters right now. It made no difference. Except I probably hurt somebody's feelings along the way. It's the only good that I did, or bad, or good, yeah. Weird thought, huh? There's so much more to life. I like this story Herschel Martindale tells. He's one of the founding pastors of our movement. Talked about Thelma. A lady in Texas called me one day. This is Herschel writing this story. She asked if I could come by to see her. I knocked at her door and a voice told me to come in. Thelma was a paraplegic and her sphere of influence was a wheelchair in a room. She told me that she had been moved of God to share her faith with others. What can I do? I can't even go out of this room unless someone takes me, she prayed. She would look out the front window and notice how many people walked by her house each day. She asked her husband for a crisscross directory, a phone directory that lists the streets, house numbers, and then phone numbers. I decided to call people in the block around my house. Hello, my name is Thelma, and I live just down the street. I'm a paraplegic, so I can't come over to visit you, but I wanted to get acquainted with you. She asked about their children, jobs, schools, sports, all kinds of things. Then she closed by asking, Is there anything that I could pray for you and your family? Do you mind if I call occasionally and ask if God answered the prayer? One by one, the neighbors would stop by and visit her to get acquainted. They rapidly became friends. At the right time, Thelma, who would give them a booklet, Bible, or something that shared the gospel clearly, one by one, Thelma saw neighbor after neighbor open their heart and trust Jesus as their Savior. After a while, she went on to the next block. Thelma smiled and said, there have been over 40 people who have prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior in this room. Thelma was obeying the Great Commission, and God was blessing. The power of God is available to you and to me. And we have access to God. And God wants to use you. And He wants to empower you. But unless you take the time to go to Him, that power will just sit. Nothing will ever happen. That power does not have to sit. Tap into it. Go to God. Don't let the world steal your time. I know there's a lot of bills to pay. I understand that clearly. I have them myself. But God can help you through that too. He can direct your finances. He can teach you how to spend your money. Go learn how to line up your schedule with God first. And it will go well with you. Not necessarily easy. Life is hard, but it's right with Christ. Continue on. I made a mistake here and I forgot to change it. But maybe it'll stick in your mind better. Pray for surpassing love. So if you have a handout and you're following along, which I'm sure you all are, you can cross out knowledge and put love. Because love surpasses knowledge. So let's continue on in the text, chapter or verse 17, chapter 3, verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Love that surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God wants you to be filled with the measure of God. He wants us to be filled. That's pretty wild. He's going to change it for me right there and now. That's probably, thank you. Pray for surpassing love. Thank you. Love surpasses knowledge. You know, it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. Love surpasses that. And did you know that God is love? Love surpasses knowledge. Knowledge is good, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of things that we all need to learn, especially from God's Word. But God surpasses knowledge. His love will change you, will transform you beyond simple knowledge. Because faith is not knowledge. Faith is an action. And love inspires us to that action. Love inspires us to move on our faith. It's not about what I know, but it's about what I do. It's not about what you know, but it's about what you do. Are there fruits in the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit in your life? Can you see them? Are you experiencing them in your life? Love, patience, kindness. Do you see that? It's available, but we have to go to the Father and get filled up. Verse 18. May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's God's Word. That's truth. It stands on its own. Verse 20, the glory goes to Jesus Christ forever. Jesus Christ, God is the only one who deserves glory. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. If you have a handout, I kind of like the way this is laid out under the quote section in Ephesians 20 there. If you notice that. Ephesians 20 says God is able. And I just like the way that's written out. Ask. All that we ask. Above all that we ask or think. Abundantly above all that we ask or think, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And God is. Believe that. Believe it. Live it. Glory to Christ Jesus forever. God deserves the glory. God will get the glory. He's the only one that deserves it. There's only one God, and that God deserves the glory. You will never be a God. I will never be a God. There is only one God. Jesus Christ is that God. His name is above all names, and He is the only one that deserves all the glory from our lives. And there's no other explanation than the power of Christ working in you and I that gives God glory. It's just a beautiful picture. The power of God at work in our lives gives God glory. As we live our life out and the purposes and the works that He's given us. So let's just simply close in a prayer. That's God's truth. God, we love You. We need You. To You be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. To You be the glory in this church, God, forever. In any church, God, that is Yours, for You be the glory. You get the glory. Everything we do would point to You. Because it's all You, God. It's Your power that changes us. It's Your power that transforms us. It's Your power that rescues us. God, I thank You for Your love. I thank You loved us so much that gracefully and mercifully You've saved us. You've rescued us. You offer up salvation. God, I am, like as Apostle Paul writes in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. It is Your power, Jesus Christ, for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew and for the Gentile. God, we love You. We need You. I pray You would powerfully come inside each one of us, God. Thank You that You are living inside of us. And we just pray that You would powerfully continue to transform us to be like You. And we just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.